much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Look at these poor f***ers. They don't even know what's about to hit them. The hammer of God.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
That's a good album.
Oh, my hero, Neil Diamond. Great singer and a man who knows it all. That's why they wanted to shut him up. Look at this. Neil Diamond, concert canceled, throat problem.
Neil Diamond, concert canceled, singing legend cites throat problem.
Yeah, couldn't talk, or they didn't want him to talk.
Probably couldn't talk.
Oh, no, they didn't want him to talk.
Right.
He knows where all the bodies are buried, about the New World Order, enslavement of the masses, health care for all. He knows about it.
Neil Diamond does.
Oh, yeah, and he was ready to sing.
I like that song, Sweet Caroline.
He knows how it all comes together.
It's a good guitar player as well.
Yes, he is.
So, another Friday is upon us.
That sounds fun.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Speaking of no...
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Do you shave your butt?
Roll another one.
Ma, what are you doing on top of that?
Just like the other one.
I literally have 1,000 questions.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Penis.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
I'm a lesbian.
Roll another one.
Oui, oui, mademoiselle.
Just like the other one.
Punch, punch, kick.
This one seems to be about.
This is the work of a lunatic.
I don't have another cent.
Joey Fatone. People say we're long-lost brothers. I don't see a resemblance.
It's a blessing and a purse.
Just pass it around.
A smashing success.
He can't even wipe his own ass.
And now...
I've never felt so equipped to do something in my entire life.
Our feature presentation.
Damn straight, that's what it's all about here on the Kevin and Bean Show for yet another day, this time a Friday. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello, it's Friday. Yay!
We are monkey-free today.
I know. That makes
who's
me
gonna,
sad.
Who's going to pay for breakfast?
Mugs.
Now me. What?
Come on, Mugs.
I'm
you
broke.
Eat most of the breakfast.
I do, but I have no money.
Oh, my God. We may starve.
Imagine how much it must cost to feed Mugs on a weekly basis.
I can't.
It's funny. Every time I go to a fast food joint, which I frequently do,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's supposed
now tell
to
tell us that we can see you.
Yeah, I know. It's supposed to be, you know, most bang for your buck. Well, I end up spending like $20 by the time I'm done with a fast food joint.
How do you even spend $20 at a fast food place?
Because I order the menu, Bean, every time I'm there.
You get everything on the menu.
Everything. No self-control.
But when your diet starts, then things are going
to
be different.
I'm not going to even go
then
to
things
fast
are going to be different.
Yeah, I'm not going
right.
to
We haven't decided what year that's going to be, but one of these days. One Lisa, these what are you doing this weekend? Anything fun?
I think I'm going to try to go see A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Nice.
And that's my only plan, really.
Okay.
What
All
about
right.
you? Anything?
No.
No. Okay. No, I don't know why I ask.
Just not leave my house. I mean, that's my goal.
That's pretty fun right there,
just,
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Just not leave the house.
Okay.
Hey, it's too bad Kevin isn't here today because I know that he was alternately fascinated and repulsed by the story that hit the British press yesterday about the 31-year-old Kyle Jones, whose girlfriend is 91.
Yeah.
There's a 60-year age difference right there.
He tweeted a gif of them macking.
Yeah. About 20 times
it's
he tweeted that.
So disgusting.
I did a little research, dug a little deeper into Kyle's story. He is 31 years old, an American, by the way, lives in Augusta, Georgia, And this woman that you saw him making out with, her name is Marjorie McCool. She is 91. She is a great-grandmother. And, yes, she does have grandchildren older than her boyfriend now. This isn't even the only woman that he's dating.
Oh, you're kidding.
He has a thing for older women. Now, I don't know that I've ever heard. I know different, different types appeal to different people. But he has a thing for older women. He says, look, some people like, blondes. Some people like brunettes. I like old people. That's my thing is I'm an old people. He's currently seeing five women of different ages, all above 50. And apparently it got started. You know, you always hear stories about how your early sexual experiences shape what your interests are for the rest of your life. And this may be what happened to Kyle. He was 18 when he had his first sexual relationship. She was 50. So maybe it takes him, you know, maybe it takes him back to that time. You know, maybe that's that imprinted on him as that's the kind of sex that's the most exciting to him because it was with a much, much older woman.
Right. That makes sense.
That isn't good for you.
Most of the time, he does use dating websites to find women. He says most of the time, the average age I go for is between 60 and 80. He says whenever I try to speak to an older woman, the first reaction I usually get is you're way too young. But I am persistent and I tell them it'll be fun. He regularly sees up to five women at a time. And takes them on dates at home to meet his mother. She is 51, by the way. So he frequently is bringing home ladies who are older than his mother, and especially his main squeeze, Marjorie, who is well old enough to be his grandmother.
Does he have sex with Marjorie, do we think?
Yes,
yes?
He do.
Really?
Marjorie, they have been dating since 2009, you guys. They met in a bookstore where she was working. He asked for her number. She had been single at that time for 37 years after splitting with a father of her six children. By the way, her kids are 71, 63, 61, 52, and 50. And she's dating a 31-year-old.
You know what, Bean? If that were my mom...
You'd be so happy.
I think I would, as long as I knew he wasn't just trying to get in everybody's wills.
Right, exactly. And we'll get to that because that's commonly asked of him as well. She says, in the beginning, I got jealous of his other women, but he keeps coming back to me and he tells me that I'm the best. The physical side of our relationship is wonderful. I amaze myself. He amazes me. There's nothing better. I wear sexy outfits to bed, but I do try to keep my bra on because I don't have much left. It's got to be driving him crazy that he can't see those 91-year-old boobs, by the way.
Oh, my God.
When people see us out together, they probably think that he's my son or maybe even a grandson. I have grandsons older. Kyle says, often the things women are so self-conscious about is what I'm into. I like the necklines. I like the wrinkles. Women worry about their boobs zagging, but I think the natural hang looks great. And I'm not a fan of plastic surgery. I don't like to say gray. I'm a fan of platinum hair. I prefer it natural. He says, perhaps I'd like to meet the right person and settle down, but I know they would die before me. Which I guess is something you have to consider when you're dating a much, much older woman. And finally, the common criticism I most often hear is you're after their money or you're after their inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
People always think these women must be buying things, but it's not true at all. I do it because I like it and they like it too. I've dated women from various ends of the financial spectrum, but it's never about what they have. His mother, by the way, said initially she thought her son was just going through a phase when he started to date the much older woman. I think a lot of children have crushes on their teachers, so it didn't strike me as strange. I wasn't really sure if it was something he was going to stay with or if it was just a cougar phase that some young men go through. However, later when I saw the kind of much older woman he was spending time with, I knew it wasn't a phase. So, look, there's no victims here. Everybody seems to be enjoying it. They're all consensual adults. They're doing what they want to do. They all seem to be turned on by it.
Well, these ladies aren't having – I mean, there's not a lot of options out there, and he's young and virile, which is kind of cool.
And he's not a bad-looking dude, and he takes care of himself, and it looks like he's very attentive to the ladies, so more power to him, right?
Good, good, good.
Yeah. So – If we've got young men out there who are frustrated with their lack of female attention, maybe this is the route you go. Maybe you hadn't thought about that, but maybe the over 90 set is where you want to go for the continuous action.
Not a lot of competition.
No!
See? I see some disagree. All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Why not, Bean? This is America!
It is, in fact, America, and the great Doto himself will be joining us later on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We found out something very shocking about Doto this week, Lisa May, and that is that he would like to make it in the entertainment business.
What?
All the times we've had him on the show, he's never mentioned that to us before.
Huh, interesting.
So we'll talk to Doe, find out what's up with that. We've got actor Reed Scott on the program today. He is terrific playing Dan. He's part of the vice president's office on the TV show Veep.
Yes.
So we'll talk to Reed on the program. Great show. Great actor.
Love it.
Friday means Ralph's got the movie beat on the program today. Well, we've got a little investigative report going on Gwyneth Paltrow's claim yesterday that water has feelings. We've got an expert to talk to.
Okay.
We'll talk about the NBA finals that are underway and the Stanley Cup final as well with our friend Matt Money Smith from the P&M show. He'll be joining us later on today. And, speaking of Stanley Cup, how about this? Jarrett Stoll himself is going to be joining
us. All right.
On the program.
That's good. Kevin must be dying that he's not here.
That he's not here for that?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He is a big deal. Of course, he has been with the Kings for some time, was with them when they won the Cup in 2012, and has made a tremendous impact on this playoff run, up to and including Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals. So very excited to get to talk to Jarrett ahead of Game 2 tomorrow night. So all of that, plus Ralph's got the showbiz beat when we return right after this on the world-famous K-Rock. Keep listening to K-Rock all morning for your chance to win tickets to go see the Black Keys November 6th at the Forum. Tickets will go on sale this morning at 10 a.m. You can win them before that even happens. Also, Kevin Abid's Breakfast with Jack White. We got tickets for you. 22 Jump Street passes. And, of course, Santa Anita is happening with the K-Rock Microbrew. We'll tell you about that and give you free VIP tickets for that as well. Lisa, I'm starting to think that you're the only one who wants to work with me.
It does seem like it. I don't know what's happening.
Kevin's not here today. Ralph's still not here yet. It's time for the showbiz beat. I guess we'll just muddle through. A lawsuit has been finished in the Beastie Boys trial versus Monster Energy Beverage. We've been paying close attention to this because the Monster made a video, a snowboarding video, with a montage of Beastie Boys songs.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't get permission for that, so the Beastie Boys rightfully said, hey, over here, what's up?
Yeah.
So the Beastie Boys sued them for $2 million. Monster Energy said, hey, we blew it. I guess we should have gotten your permission, but we really think that's only worth about $125,000 is how much we're willing to pay. It went to jury yesterday, and the jury came up with $1.7 million and ruled in Beastie Boys' favor.
Excellent. You need to make it hurt when people do
yes.
this.
Yeah, I agree. The reason I was really interested in this trial in particular is one of the two remaining Beastie Boys, and I don't remember which one it was revealed on the stand, said, we're suing because we, you know, promised MCA, the late MCA, that we would never use any of our music. I mean, it's always been the group's policy that we're not going to use any of our commercial music in commercials,
oh,
enterprise.
Yeah.
And we're going to honor his memory. Although, to be honest, we could use the money, he said.
Really?
Which I thought was really interesting because you think about a band like the Beastie Boys that's been around and sold millions of records, 25 years in. But if you're not touring, which they're not, and by the way, say they never will. They say the Beastie Boys are over. They're not going to go on with that MCA.
Yeah.
If you're not touring and you're not making any money from royalties because who is selling music these days, and you're not going to license your music to commercials,
yeah,
you got no income coming in.
It just seems like if you had been prudent, I don't know,
yes.
haven't they made millions?
Millions and millions of dollars. You would think so, yes. But, you know...
Yeah.
We've heard of a lot.
It's going to keep going.
You think it's going to keep going, and you do start to make less as the years go on, and it still costs them money to run the Beastie Boy enterprises. You still need to do things like pay lawyers to manage your,
right.
you know, to manage your affairs and things like that. So there definitely is money going out. But it was a curious comment for me to hear from that trial to think that the Beastie Boys might be broke. You know,
well, and then what are they going to do? Because they really have no source of income then.
What are they going to do? Exactly. I don't know. But obviously, I'm hoping for the best for those guys.
Yeah.
Charlize Theron back in the news. You know, we just had her on the program last week promoting her film, A Million Ways to Die in the West. We've been lucky enough to have Charlize on the show for many, many years. And she has always been the sweetest, nicest, funniest, most awesome person in the world.
Yeah.
And I think the rest of the world has since discovered that. TMZ.com reports that she stopped by the Pinkberry shop on Sunset Boulevard last Tuesday. She ordered herself some Pinkberry, but realized she'd forgotten her wallet and said, can I come back? I got no money. Can I come back? And they said, well, yeah. What choices do you have? You can't tie Charlize Theron up in the basement, right? So she did come back and gave a $96 tip on her $4 Pinkberry.
Oh,
so,
wow. Nice.
Does she... Yeah. How does she always do the most awesome thing possible,
She's
by the way?
She's just the best.
She's incredible. And finally, Yoko Ono is in the news. This is a funny lawsuit, too. She was in a conflict with a Brooklyn fashion designer over who stole whose fashion idea. She originally sought to get a federal copyright case tossed. Someone accused her of stealing her idea, a woman by the name of Hala Nesmatada. She was accusing Yoko Ono of knocking off her creations. One of those was a pair of pants that had a giant handprint over the crotch.
Well, and I can see why they are fighting over that.
And I bring that up to say, how did two people look at that idea and go, that's a winner. That's something that I'm not only going to put out, but I'm going to go to court to fight to make sure nobody else can put out.
Yes, because I'm going to make millions on this.
Who wouldn't? Ladies, who wouldn't want to wear pants with a giant handprint over the crotch?
Yeah.
New York Post says court papers show the two have reached a settlement for an undisclosed amount of money, and it includes a confidentiality agreement. So we don't know who stole from whom. But what's up? Ladies,
what's
up? If it's
not John Lennon's hand, then I don't care.
Exactly. Today's celebrity birthdays, he is Freddy Krueger himself, Robert Englund, 67 years old today. Comedian actor Colin Quinn turns 55, and the great Paul Giamatti is 47. And that is the K-Rock Showbiz Beat. Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, Jarrett Stoll from the Los Angeles Kings joins us later on this morning, and later this half hour, Ralph Garman will be here with the Showbiz Beat. First, though, Lisa May, you're going to be very excited. I don't think we've ever done this feature before.
Yes.
But it's called Penises in the News.
Penises in the news. Penises are in the news.
Bean, I challenge you to tell me anything I don't know about penises in the news.
Well, you're probably right. I'm sure you have a Google alert on penises in the news, but why is it that guys have so much problem with their penises? Why do so many bad things happen to men's penises?
I think just the fact that they're so available. Like, maybe we would, too, if we could get to everything the way you can.
I guess. I just feel like we're using him in ill-advised ways because there's nothing but trouble. The first one, this isn't this guy's fault at all. The first story, though, is a men's sexual health clinic in Bloomington, Illinois, has been accused of medical negligence after selling an injectable medication to a patient who then suffered an 8-hour erection and ultimately required emergency room care. I don't know much about the science of these things, and I guess there's a couple of different ways that they do this ED medication, but we do hear these stories occasionally of people who get the priapism where the erection happens, but they can't get it to go down. Yeah. Can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And they always say, if you have it for, 4 hours or more, consult your doctor. And that's exactly what this man did. The patient bought a long-term supply of the treatment for erectile dysfunction from the Minneapolis Men's Clinic. But when he needed help early on the morning of May 17th, he called the clinic in a panic. There was no one there to help him. So they have filed a complaint with the Minnesota Attorney General. Here's what happened. The middle-aged patient, described by his attorney as waking up seeking treatment at 2 a.m. He had priapism, an 8-hour erection, and he had to go to the emergency room, and he had already tried everything that they said. Hey, in the event that this sticks, take a bath in hot water. If that doesn't work, take a bath in cold water. Try Sudafed. That may help you. None of these things happen. The Sudafed, by the way, is supposed to contract the blood vessels that were opened by the medication. He was doubled over in pain. He eventually ended up going to the ER. And do you know what they do when you have priapism when you come in the ER?
I'm going to guess that they slice things open to release blood.
Close. They put needles in your penis to drain the clotted blood.
Oh, it's clotted.
It's clotted,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
The stuff worked. It just didn't unwork, he says.
Oh.
So
I didn't know that they had a thing where you get, it's a shot?
Yes.
I've never heard of that. I thought you just had
pills. You've heard of the pills, right? Yeah. This is a shot. This is supposed to be something you don't have to keep taking pills for. So anyway, that's story number one of penises in the news.
Penises in the news.
Story number two, I wish I had seen this episode of Sex Sent Me to the ER. Here's an unnamed gentleman in danger of suffering from gangrene because he had a penis ring on his penis that he could not then remove. Doctors had to get creative when it came to getting it off, no pun intended. He had a steel ring around his genitals. If we don't get the ring off, gangrene can set in, said the doctor at the time. Once the gangrene sets in, then you start looking at amputation, which is not what you want. The patient had the ring on for nearly 5 hours before the doctor, seeing him at the ER, borrowed a bolt cutter from the local fire department. I was a bit flustered, and I felt some time pressure because I knew this fellow already had some tissue loss, but I was able to remove the ring with bolt cutters. Imagine how terrifying that would be to see a doctor coming at you with bolt cutters.
Well, but worse if they had, I was thinking of some sort of saw or something.
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't know. It's all bad.
None of it is good. And I don't even want to get into the physics of how something like that works, that you can put it on but you can't get it off, because you think eventually you'd return to your natural state and you'd be able to, but I guess
but
that's
it,
not the
it
case.
It traps every, yeah. Okay.
We're taking a look at penises in the news.
Penises in the news.
Could have saved this one for What's Up with Florida, but why the hell not, since we're talking about penises. Here's a guy accused of covering his exposed penis with a plastic bag and rubbing up against an unsuspecting woman at a farmer's market. His name is Luis Gonzaga. He is 77 years old, by the way. He's at the Volusia County Fairgrounds. A witness told police that around 9:30 a.m. she saw Gonzaga cover up his genitals with a plastic bag and then get in line behind a woman. The woman in line ahead of him said she felt what she assumed was a bag of produce touch her twice from behind.
Do you have zucchinis in that bag?
Are you just happy to see me? When the witness shouted to alert the woman what was happening, Gonzaga allegedly tried to run away, but other shoppers stopped him and held him until police arrived. By the way, the man has denied the accusation, even though there were witnesses saying that he is impotent. So why would he be doing that? He was charged with lewd or lascivious exhibition, indecent exposure, and battery. I just say, at least he had the courtesy to cover it in a plastic bag, by the way.
Yes.
Right?
Can you imagine? What? You know, I think all of these things, it's operator error.
Yes.
Things aren't working right. And
yeah, that's right.
He's very desperate to try to get it to work.
And finally, in penises in the news.
Penises.
To India we go. This happened just last month. 30-year-old Jitendra Patel got into a domestic spat with her husband, which culminated in her ripping his testicles off with her teeth.
Oh!
This happened on May 5th. Madhya Pradesh, Patel's spouse of 4 years, attempted to enter the kitchen to make breakfast when Patel engaged him in a heated argument. The children were there, by the way, and they attempted to break up the fight, but not before she was able to mangle his manhood. Apparently, according to police, on the day of the attack, Pradesh entered the kitchen in a towel and asked his wife to make him some breakfast. She would not respond to his request, so he went ahead and began to prepare the meal for himself. However, an argument ensued and, well, you heard what happened after that. By the way, he did not go to the hospital for several days for fear of embarrassment, so he tried to treat the wound at home with herbs and bandages. Mm. And as is the case so often in these stories, his genital area became infected and he realized he was just going to have to bite the bullet and go to the hospital. There was pus formation on his junk, by the way, when he arrived. That's how far gone he was.
Oh, dear God.
He was had you don't even have one and you realize how painful that is, right?
Oh, man. No, wait. Okay, so the wife did this.
Yes.
Was she arrested or something?
Police are investigating the incident and it may still result in an attempted murder charge against the wife. Yes.
Okay.
The man has had surgery and apparently is going to be fine, by the way. It sounds like they were able to save his testicles. But what on earth could have been going on in that family? I mean, make some breakfast, no, should be where that ended, right? I mean, if he wants to make his own breakfast, let him, right? Like, what's happening here?
I don't know.
All I know is none of these stories are good. You do not want to be featured on Penises in the News.
Penises in the News.
Getting a lot of response to Penises in the News, Lisa, the segment that you suggested, including Jeff, who writes in on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account. Please don't ever do that feature again. No bueno, with a big sad face.
Aw, so sorry, but I enjoyed it very much.
But then Joe writes in and says, Daddy, do again penis news. That was the request for my 2-year-old in the back seat. The 4-year-old was grinning from ear to ear, so thanks.
I love it.
Parents, Kevin and Bean show not appropriate for kids under 5?
I know.
Maybe not appropriate for kids under 35. I don't know. Hey. Hey.
Hey.
Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. That means it's time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat.
Welcome to my world.
An interesting mixed bag of films this weekend for you to check out. Everything from documentaries to tales of teenage love to science fiction. Let's kick it off with a documentary made by someone you may not expect to be the director of a documentary, Mike Myers. That's right, Austin Powers himself directed a film called Supermensch. The Legend of Shep Gordon. Shep Gordon being a legendary talent agent, mostly in rock and roll. His biggest named client, probably best known for repping Alice Cooper. And that's how Mike Myers met Shep Gordon, because he was using an Alice Cooper song for his Wayne's World movie, and that's how the two became friends. A fascinating story of a Hollywood insider who is anything but what you would expect, really. He adheres to the teachings of the Dalai Lama. He lives a very unique lifestyle. And this documentary features interviews with many of his Hollywood friends, like Sylvester Stallone and Michael Douglas, of course, Alice Cooper. Here's some clips from the trailer of Supermensch, the legend of Shep Gordon.
Really developed a family. Growing up, I never had a friend over. I'm more than making up for it.
Shep Gordon is the nicest person I've ever met, hands down.
What's really important for me is to do compassionate business, what I call using coupons, paying someone back, doing something for you that they didn't have to do. There aren't winners and losers. There's only winners. And the journey began.
He is the nexus for everybody that means anything. They all end up in Maui in Shep's kitchen.
Loving everything. It's never about what you want.
Never would you expect a guy like that to make it in Hollywood.
Seriously, I was just thinking the same thing. Like, how did he ever get a career going if he's only doing things for other people?
Everybody loves him and everybody respects him, and he's able to work with anyone.
Very interesting.
Craziness. Obvious Child is another movie that opens up this weekend. Jenny Slate stars. The lovely and talented Gabby Hoffman's also in this film. Story of a 20-something comedian's unplanned pregnancy, which forces her to confront the realities of her independent womanhood for the first time. Here's some clips from the trailer of Obvious Child.
I was recently dumped up with my very nice close friend, who's such a nice person, decided to sleep with my boyfriend. I would love to just murder suicide them.
Hey Max, remember from before when we did sex to each other?
I can't get your blouse off.
I'm having your abortion. Do you want to share a dessert?
He's like so Christian. He's like a Christmas tree.
So be the angel on top.
I'm not the angel on top. I'm the menorah on top of the tree that burns it down.
Slate is funny. This movie.
It's about time we had a feel-good comedy about abortion, Ralph.
Yeah, I agree. Trust me, we've been talking about this movie all week because our buddy Clark Gregg is the writer-director of this film. Clark also stars in it. Felicity Huffman, Allison Janney, William H. Macy. What a cast! Clark plays a failing, struggling Hollywood talent agent, and he's got a former child star. He has to deal with her father, a long time rival that he's going up against. The producer and casting directors despise him, and yet he finds the find of his life in a very talented young lady. This is about their relationship and his trip from schlub to winner, question mark? Well, you find out in Trust Me. Here's some clips from the trailer of Trust Me.
You're fired.
No.
Philip needs more now. He needs an Aldo Stankus.
Hello, Aldo, you Polack poacher.
Hi, Howard.
I don't steal your clients. You're getting paranoid.
How'd you get this number?
He asked who my agent was. I told him it was you.
You did the absolutely right thing.
It's amazing. It's like they wrote it for you.
Are you going to start crying?
No. God, no. Aldo, what's going on?
Howard, Lydia's a rare talent.
This thing's as big as you say it is, and maybe we ought to get somebody in there that's been there before.
That's not fair.
I'm just asking for a chance.
Sam Rockwell also stars. Just amazing cast and a lot of heart to this film. I think you will enjoy it. The Fault in Our Stars comes out this weekend. Shailene Woodley and her Sunny Vagina star in this film. Lauren Dern, Ansel Elgort. A lot of critical buzz about the story of two teenagers who meet each other in a cancer support group, and about the teen angst and love and humor and everything that you can find in teen cancer.
It's a wonderful book. I did read the book.
Yeah, the book was a huge hit, and the movie's getting a lot of good critical acclaim as well. Here's a scene from The Fault in Our Stars where Gus, who's now in remission, is pulling a cigarette out in front of Hazel, and they met in a cancer support group. As you can imagine, that brings up some strange feelings.
Really? That is disgusting.
What?
What, do you think that's cool or something? You just ruined this whole thing.
The whole thing?
Yes, this whole thing.
Oh, man.
Even though you had freaking cancer, you're willing to give money to a corporation for the chance to acquire even more cancer? Let me just tell you that not being able to breathe sucks.
Hazel Grace, they don't actually hurt you unless you light them.
I never lit one. It's a metaphor, see? You put the thing that does the killing right between your teeth, but you never give it the power to kill you. A metaphor.
See, it's a metaphor.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah. It's like Twilight with cancer.
I think it's better than that.
Yeah, well, you know. Popular book series. Teen love. I'm just saying.
All right.
Edge of Tomorrow also opens up this weekend. This is the big blockbuster for the weekend. Tom Cruise, Emily Blunt, Bill Paxton, Brendan Gleeson. Tom Cruise plays an officer who finds himself caught in a time loop in a war with an alien race. You know how that could be sometimes when you're stuck in a time loop with aliens.
Sure.
His skills increase as he faces the same brutal combat scenarios over and over again, and also his relationship with a special forces warrior like Emily Blunt get him closer and closer to defeating these aliens. It is science fiction. It is big budget blockbuster special effects. It is Tom Cruise being all Tom Cruisey. Doug Liman directs here as a scene from Edge of Tomorrow where Emily Blunt is telling Tom Cruise the most important rule about being stuck in a time loop when you're fighting an alien race.
My back. The only thing I can feel in my lips.
Now listen carefully. This is a very important rule. This is the only rule. You get injured on the field, you better make sure you die.
Why?
Last time I was in combat, I was hit. I was bleeding out. I woke up in a field hospital with 3 pints of someone else's blood, and I was out. I lost the power. Do you understand? I think we'd better start over, don't you?
What?
See? Don't get...
Wow.
Don't get someone else's blood. Keep the power to go into the time stream to keep dying and coming back. What's wrong with you?
He just gets killed over and over and over again until he gets it right.
Yeah, exactly. And when he gets it right... Kicking some alien ass.
I guess so.
This movie looks loud. There's 4 louds up for me.
I do. There is certainly no doubt which one Kevin would be going to see if he were listening to this movie. But I do hear great things about this as well. I mean, this is a pretty good batch of films this weekend, right?
No, they say Edge of Tomorrow is a very exciting and thoughtful special effects bonanza. So there's got a lot going for it. Yeah, but it's something for everybody. And I'm really interested in that Supermensch, too. That documentary is supposed to be fascinating. Mike Myers turns out to be a pretty good director. So, a lot to choose from is being mentioned. Edge of Tomorrow.
I will go there because it is loud.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman.
Movie beat.
Come on. Come on with the come on.
Right?
That's how you want to start your day.
Pretty amazing.
Little Jack White, Lazaretto, title track from the new album, which comes out on Tuesday. Next Thursday is our Breakfast with Jack White here on the Kevin Bean Show. If you would like to be in the audience at Red Rolls Found Space, we're going to give you a chance to win those tickets coming up next hour between 7 and 8. We'll give you a chance to win those tickets, and you'll get tickets to go see him at the sold-out Fonda show as well. That's all coming up on K-Rock. Gwyneth Paltrow, back in the news. You know, our goopy friend says lots of dumb things, Lisa.
She needs to. I mean, there are things that I run across that I think this might be true, but I'm not going to tell anybody else because I'm going to look like an idiot.
A couple weeks ago, she raised eyebrows by saying that when you look at online comments on the internet about yourself, that's like going into war.
Yeah.
It's just like being on the battlefield is reading nasty things on the internet. She says things like that all the time that make you realize just how out of touch she is. Like,
and how
Ralph was
hard her life is because
exactly.
She has to go to a movie set. She'd rather be a nurse or a teacher.
Ralph was explaining yesterday that she's just led an incredibly sheltered existence and has no idea what it's like to be on the outside of the bubble. Well, now she's really raising eyebrows because now she's getting into science. And she's been talking about how she is a fan of this Japanese doctor named Masaru Emoto, who has published several books on the theory that human consciousness can change the structure of water. So you can have happy water and you can have sad water. And if you yell at your water, it's not going to be good for your water. And I say no, Gwyneth Paltrow, is what I say. But apparently this doctor who she follows, Dr. Emoto, is not the only one who believes this. We found another one, Lisa, and it's your old friend, the doctor who put you on the cloud diet, Aristotle Freedom, who joins us back on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Dr. Freedom, hello.
Hey, namaste, man.
Hi, Dr. Freedom.
Hi, Lisa May. And, you know, as I always say, every time we have a session,
yep.
Lisa May?
Mm-hmm.
No, Lisa will.
Lisa will.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's done and wonders for me.
Yeah, how's that leaky gut, man?
It's leaking less.
Oh, so cool. So cool to hear.
Super
nothing
happy.
Makes me happier than a gut with a plug in it.
So, Dr. Freedom, I understand that you heard us talking about this Gwyneth Paltrow water theory, and you called our producer Dave and said that you had some thoughts on this, or you've done your own research, or what's happening?
Yeah, I'm just glad that this is finally getting out there, because, you know, this is true. And I'm glad to see that the teachings of Dr. Emoto are finally reaching the mass population, man.
Uh-huh.
And may I say, domo arigato, Dr. Emoto.
Yes, you may say that. You may say that.
Thank you very much. Hope he's listening.
So,
good
what about...
Job, bro.
And to you as well. What about happy water and sad water? I'm not sure I understand how this is possible. Because water is not alive. It's not matter.
Well, of course, it's matter, man.
You know what I mean. It's not...
What's the matter with you?
I mean, it's not alive.
No, it's not alive, but it is matter. And our energy, man, has an effect on all things. Energy is all-powerful, especially energy of the heart and mind. And when you are mad or when you're mean to your water, man, boy, that water gets seriously bummed out. And
right, but
changes.
But how does it change?
Properties.
Like, right, like if I yelled at a glass of water and then drank it.
No, man, don't do it.
But it would taste the same as if I sweet-talked it before I drank it, right?
No way, man.
No.
No, when you're nice to your water has a nice, smooth texture to it. It's all liquidy.
Yeah?
And when you're mean to it, man, at a microscopic level, if you take a look at the molecules, man, they look so bummed out.
Now, what kind of tests have you personally done, Dr. Freedom?
Like this. Here's some water, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This water is neutral. I've been neither positive nor negative to this water. Now let me pour it. Hey, man, screw you! Ah, I hate you! I hate you, water! You're so clear and wet! Ah, boo! Boo, water! There, man. Now the water's all bummed out. Let me taste it. Hmm. Yuck, man. That is filled with bummer.
Really?
Does it do something inside when you have bummed out water?
Yeah, man. It makes you bummed out inside. What do you think? It's like poison. It makes the water poison, basically, for your karma.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Yeah. Who knew?
Now,
who
here,
knew?
Try this again.
Okay.
Oh, water. Oh, water. You are so hot. Oh, water. Yeah. Oh,
I'm uncomfortable with this.
Look how low. You're so wet. Yeah, aren't you? Yeah. What? You want? Okay. All right. Get in my pants. Yeah, that's right. Oh, oh,
wait,
yeah.
What are you doing with it?
I'm pouring water down my pants.
Water. Why are you doing that, doctor?
To drink
I'm
it?
Making love with the water. Yeah.
No, that's not what you're supposed to be doing.
Oh, now see, this water's happy.
This water's you're
really happy. And now my pants are happy. Everything's happy, man. So just be good to everything, and everything
okay,
will
but
be good.
It looks like you just wet your pants, doctor. That's all that's happening here.
I made a poor choice to wear tan khakis today, that's for sure.
See any of that basketball game last night, Ralph?
I did not, sir.
LeBron James being helped off the court with 4 minutes left to go to watch his team lose to the San Antonio Spurs.
That's got to be a pit in your stomach feeling.
Yeah, at least his fans on the internet were kind and forgiving and understanding that he was hurt. At least that happened.
I get the sense that didn't happen.
We'll talk to Matt Manning-Smith from the PMS radio show all about that. And, of course, the Kings in the Stanley Cup final. That's on the way next. And your Breakfast with Jack White tickets as well. First, though, it's Friday morning. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat.
Finally, a little good news in the Casey Kasem story. CNN is reporting. Hey, what's going on there, Beer Mug? What do you got? What do you got, buddy? There we go. CNN is reporting that Casey Kasem is getting treatment at a hospital in Western Washington State. He is in critical condition, they're saying, but apparently is responding well to intravenous antibiotics as well as blood pressure medication and treatment for his many bed sores.
That's the part that's so upsetting. That's completely avoidable.
Well, this wife of his, Jean, I get the sense that she is not the best caretaker.
Yeah.
When his kids finally got a hold of him, he had apparently a bladder infection and was not doing well, but apparently he is being taken care of to the best of their ability there at the hospital in Washington State. So There will be another hearing yet today, at which time a judge is expected to update this nasty battle between Casey's wife and his daughter. And I hope they give the daughter full custody of Dad and let her take care of him. Seems like she knows.
Is Don on the phone?
Don was not on the phone. That was part of the problem, apparently. She's crazy, this Jean, right? With her throwing meat at people and stuff and everything.
Bad I think she is. Happening.
Yeah, that's bad stuff.
How could I get this this Carrie Kasem to take care of me too? While we're at it, by the way, Ralph.
Oh man.
Right.
It's nice that you can find the creepy in any story, Bean.
Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Nothing if not dependable.
Not an unattractive woman.
Charlize Theron. She is just the best. Great story about how she was at Pinkberry Yogurt on Sunset last week. Ordered herself a little Pinkberry frozen yogurt. Then realized, look, it's happened to all of us. Quickly realized she had forgotten her wallet. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have the cash. So she says to the girl behind the counter, Keela, listen, I'll be right back. I'll have to go get the money. But trust me, I'm gonna eat my yogurt. I'm going to leave, but I'm going to come back. And Keela's like, sure. Charlize Theron, thief.
We know who you are.
We know how you are with your stealing of Pinkberry yogurt. So she goes out, and an hour goes by. No Charlize Theron. And so this girl's thinking, well, I just got screwed by an Oscar winner.
Yep.
But sure enough, Charlize came back, and she paid the bill with a $100 bill, and said, why don't you keep the rest for your trouble? That ended up being a $96.25 tip for the girl.
Yeah! That's a nice day right there.
That's worth an hour of your waiting, isn't it?
Yeah.
She's the best. You want to see Forrest Gump again? You want to see it in IMAX? It's coming back to screens. Coming back to theaters in September for the film's 20th anniversary. Forrest Gump, a movie that was a phenomenon when it was first released, has not aged nearly as well as you might expect.
It's been 20 years now, right, Ralph?
Has been 20 years. That's why they're re-releasing it for the anniversary. Another re-release in the works, Sony Pictures has announced they're bringing Ghostbusters back to theaters for its 30th anniversary. Now that's something I'd like to see on the big screen again. It has been restored and remastered, and that version will hit theaters for a short period of time on August the 29th.
Are you menstruating right now?
Yes, I am, actually.
I do feel like if Ghostbusters hadn't existed and it came out today, it would be the biggest movie of the year. It would still, even today, 30 years later, be as good or better than anything else that's out there.
It hasn't lost a step.
Yeah.
While as Forrest Gump feels a little dated and a little treacly and a little cloying maybe. Yeah. And it's a
my mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates.
Still a good film, but it's really sort of sentimental and maybe a little bit overly so. But great performance by Tom Hanks. But that Ghostbusters, man, still sharp as a tack. And the Boys won a judgment yesterday in court against Monster Energy Beverage Company. They were asking for $2 million. They actually got $1.7 million. Not too bad. New York Times says the suit has been around for 2 years after the Beastie Boys sued Monster for using a mega mix of Beastie Boys songs in a video for a snowboarding competition that they were sponsoring. As you know, famously, the Beastie Boys do not allow anyone to use their music in any sort of promotional or advertising purposes. So they sued Monster. It looks like it paid off. $1.7 million for the Boys. Yeah. I think it probably ticked him off, too, that the video ended with Rest in Peace, MCA, a tribute to the group's late member, Adam Yauch. And MCA is the one that insisted in his will that the Beastie's music never be allowed to be used for ads of any kind. So, they did what they had to do, and they won. So.
Good.
How about a little less tribute to MCA, Monster, and a little more not putting our music in videos without our permission?
Yeah, I think that's what the point was. Today's celebrity birthdays. Now we're going to get sued. Nice work, man. Hope you're happy. I can't afford $1.7 mil. You got that? You got that?
Another plane, another train, another bottle in the brain.
All right. Thank you, BC Boys.
You have that stashed away in your food cupboard? You got $1.7 mil?
I think we're allowed to still play Beasties on the radio.
No, we're not. They sue everybody for everything.
Even K-Rock for playing their music? Oh,
especially us.
Didn't realize it was that bad.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Sandra Bernhardt is 59 years old today. We can take her off the list, right? She hasn't been.
Absolutely, we can.
She hasn't been relevant really in a long, long time. She seems unpleasant.
Is she the one that used to make out with Madonna?
Yeah.
Was that her?
That was her.
Okay. Yeah.
Robert Englund, Freddy Krueger. Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
67 years old today. Comedian Colin Quinn is 55. YouTube star Ryan Higa is 24 years old. And actor Paul Giamatti. Paul Giamatti. I love Paul Giamatti.
He's amazing.
Me too.
He is great in everything that he does. And I would like to have a meal of pasta with him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's 47 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We've been able to do a breakfast with on the Kevin and Bean Show with almost everyone we've ever wanted to, including the Beastie Boys and No Doubt. And, well, the list just goes on and on and on. But the one we've been going for a long time is Jack White. And it's finally happening next Thursday. Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Jack White in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. Tiny room. Big star, you get a chance to help us interview him and hear him perform live 20 feet in front of you. If you want to be in the audience, we'll give you a chance to win those tickets right now at 1-800-520-1067. Plus, we'll throw in a pair of passes for Jack's sold-out show at the Fonda Theater. You are going to have to earn them, but you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. I don't think anybody expected what happened in last night's game one of the NBA playoffs. That's for sure. It was a bizarre one. Matt Money Smith from the Petros and Money radio show on AM 570 joins us. Hi, Matt.
Hey, what's happening? Whole LeBron's kryptonite, man. Back to haunt him once again.
Have you seen LeBroning, hashtag LeBroning on Twitter this morning? It's very funny.
Who could have ever predicted that that was going to happen?
Tell the folks who weren't watching last night what happened.
Well, you know, this is something that has dogged LeBron his whole career, you know, is his attempts to stay hydrated, to not cramp. His body just does not deal with heat as well as other players. It never has. This happened in the finals like 2 years ago, you might remember, against Oklahoma mm-hmm. City. He had to keep leaving the game, then he hit that big three-pointer. I think they were down one game, 1-0 in the series, and it was a huge three, and that was kind of, you know, the whole LeBron championship legacy, fighting through pain and cramps, and he just couldn't do it, you know. And the Miami Arena is notorious. American Airlines Arena is notorious for being super cold and air conditioned before they tip off in you know, these later months, because his body just does not deal well with heat. And
last night they were in San Antonio, and the air conditioning went out, and it got to be, what, above 90 degrees in there, right?
Yeah, it was 90 inside, and a lot of players were dealing with it, and LeBron was the only one that couldn't go. You know, his body cramped up to a point, and look, I'm not some sort of elite athlete, but I've cramped up before when, you know, doing some of those distance running things I do, and it sucks. You can't move. There's nothing you can do, and it got him last night.
Michael Jordan played through the worst food poisoning that an NBA player has ever had, but even that is easier to play through than a cramp in your leg, right?
Yeah, you can't move. I mean, your muscle's locked, you know, and like I said, I'm not trying to compare my situation to his, but it's happened before when I've been running and I'm not hydrated enough, my leg locks and you can't unlock it. there's nothing you can do. And I think that's, you know, it was good for Isaiah Thomas, who was on NBA TV, of course, considered one of the greatest point guards ever, to say, look, I have played through every injury imaginable. I kind of have that reputation of being one of those, quote, warriors, and I could not play through those cramps. You just can't do it.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do. But, look, he's going to have to wear it because, you know, every other player could. So whether or not that's, an issue that he has with his own makeup, and it's a genetic issue for him, whatever, tough. It's the finals, and now you're going to have to wear it because your team was down 2 when you left the floor and they lost by 15.
Yeah. Let's face it, it makes a big difference when you don't have your star player on the floor. By the way, I know we've talked about this in years past. The Spurs, still the most boring team in the NBA, or no? They still don't seem to get the respect that any other team with their winning percentage and their appearances in the finals gets. How come, Lenny?
It's not the isolation ball, you know, that we've come to love, the Michael Jordan versus fill in the blank, Kobe Bryant versus, you know, everybody else. Hey, you other four guys, get the hell out of here. This is my half of the basketball court, and I'm going to do my thing. And that's not what the Spurs are. You know, we've talked about it before. They are truly like a soccer team, you know, and then there's a reason why they call soccer the beautiful game, because people are constantly moving. The ball is always going from one player to the next. The perfect pass leads to the perfect goal. And that's how the Spurs play basketball. And a lot of it's not above the rim. You know, they don't have these uber athletes that are bouncing off contact in the lane and throwing down with two-handed hammers. But they're guys that pass the ball and make mid-range jumpers and three-pointers, and that's how they win. And I think the closest thing they have to that is Manu Ginobili, who is, you know, just spectacular in the lane, moving his body, controlling his body, but most of it's done under the rim, and that's considered boring these days.
Right. Well, the Spurs are up 1-0 in the NBA Finals. That was game one last night. When do they play again?
Sunday. Yeah.
Sunday.
Right. Thursday, Sunday. Okay. How about that? So plenty of time to get IVs in LeBron.
Right. Now let's turn our attention to hockey. Los Angeles Kings making their second appearance in the Stanley Cup Final in the last 3 years. What'd you think of Game 1 against the Rangers?
Oh, that was great. I was in the arena. It was a great atmosphere. And, you know, just some – I mean, look, I'm not trying to preach hockey to the people. If you're going to like it, you're going to like it. If you're not, you're not. Whatever. I happen to enjoy the sport. It's really the only thing I get super excited about anymore. But it's an electric atmosphere inside there. And to hear that the Kings have capped their season tickets at 16,000, they've got over 1,000 people on the waiting list, that there were more people in there to watch a hockey game in that arena for Game 1 than they've ever had before is great. And they deserve it. You know, they're the one team we have in town that is a championship caliber squad, and you are starting to feel it galvanize this city. And I think that's exciting because they're young. They should be able to do this for a number of years beyond this because their leaders are locked up, their best players are locked up, and they're not even in the prime of their career yet. They look like the first period was a disaster. They were tired, they were lazy, and they flipped it on in the third, and they show, you know, almost reminiscent of those Laker teams, you know, where they, you'd be like, what is wrong with Kobe and Shaq? And then in the fourth quarter, they'd turn it on and say, oh, yeah, remember us? You're not going to win this game. And that's what it was like with the Kings in that third period, just sort of imposing their will and dominance on the Rangers that just looked like they didn't have a damn chance in the Stanley Cup in that final period.
There is something to be said for the Kings, a team that never quits, no matter how far behind they are in a game, no matter how far they are behind in a series. Let's not forget they were down by 3 games to San Jose earlier this season. I mean, the fact that they've already played 3 Game 7s to even get to the Stanley Cup shows you that these kids just don't quit.
Yeah, and, you know, to ease up on how poorly they played in that first period, you know, I thought Daryl Sutter put it best, and rarely does he put it anything, let alone best. But he said, remember, it wasn't just the 3 Game 7s, but we had multiple overtime periods. So you're talking about probably a couple Game 8s included
yes.
in there with the physicality and the overtimes, and it clearly was visible in them trying to shake that off. But again, like the NBA Finals, you know, and unlike every other playoff series, it doesn't go every other day. They don't play again until tomorrow. So I think these 2 days, much, much needed rest for the Kings, and they ought to look a lot more fresh coming out tomorrow.
Now, we have Jarrett Stoll on with us next hour, Matt. I know you've talked to him in the past.
Oh, Stoley.
Does he get the hottest chicks in the NHL? He used to date Rachel Hunter, right? And now
yep.
he's dating Erin Andrews? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, and he, you know, the hockey guys, they are, when they're from Saskatchewan and Saskatoon, they are very uncomfortable talking about their celebrity girlfriends. But, hey, Stoley, that's tough, man. You want to date her, you're going to have to wear it. And
right?
He does very well for himself. He is a he's a good-looking dude, and you know what? It's appropriate because instead of being the sniper that scores 30 goals or the, you know, the Russian elite skater that looks like Baryshnikov out there, he's just a gritty, I will win a face-off in our defensive zone and secure the victory for you style of player. And his impact on this team cannot be quantified. He is such an important part, and we rarely talk about Stoll. You know, and often talk about guys like Kopitar and Doughty.
That's right. All right, last question I have for you. And again, this is the voice of our good friend Matt Money Smith from the Petrus Money Radio Show, Fox Sports Radio, AM 570, weekday afternoon starting at 3. And that is, and
question,
I know I've asked...
How would I like you to pay me this year for a
yeah.
Don't have time to talk about that, although we are only 6 games out right now. But here's the question I have for you, Matt, and that is,
yes.
Why don't the NBA and the NHL coordinate and somebody move a week so that these playoffs aren't going on at the same time?
Yeah, they typically do. The NHL will end the week before, well, not the week before, but kind of right as the NBA playoffs start. Usually it lines up, and a lot of that, you know, a lot of that is based on how long the regular series, you know, the earlier playoff series go. I think the fact that the Kings went 7-7-7 and uh-huh. the Rangers went 7-7-6 pushed
everything
back. Exactly. It pushed it back a little bit. Normally, because I planned my vacation based on the Stanley Cup Final, and I thought I was going to be clear. Well, now I desperately need the Kings to win in 5 or better.
Because you got a plane to catch.
Yeah, otherwise I'm going to be sitting on a beach in Hawaii celebrating their championship, and my boss is not going to be happy about that, my man. So,
all right, yeah. Matt, we got to go. Thanks so much for the time today. Say hi to the people. Talk to you soon. All right, buddy?
Sure.
Can't believe Veep is already over, by the way. Can't believe its final episode is this Sunday night. What's up with that?
Really?
Season went by way too fast. Actor Reed Scott, who plays Dan on the show, joins us in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, who wants to go to breakfast with Jack White? Hit it, Steve. It's time for Omaroki.
Rocky as a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck, because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
Omar Rocky is by far the worst of all the games we do to help you win tickets here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's certainly the most painful.
Is it worse than Lisa's whistling?
It is. It's
what?
Worse than Lisa's.
Don't hurt your ears, you can't hear me.
Right, exactly. It ought to be outlawed, seriously. It ought to be against an FCC regulation, but we still keep putting it on. Tickets to Kevin Bean's Breakfast with Jack White next Thursday in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. Plus, you get a chance to go see him a couple nights before at the sold-out show at the Fonda on June 10th. So, Omar,
yes,
you were telling us that as terrible as you are with most songs, you're going to be even worse with Jack White. How come?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to rock the mic right. I think, you know what, if Jack White needs to take a little break during the breakfast, I could step in, do a couple of tunes, no problem.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Here's the way the game is played. Omar is going to be singing a song from Jack White. It can be from the White Stripes or Jack White solo or the Rockin' Tours. All you have to do is tell us what the name of the song is, and you are in the drawing to win your way into the Breakfast with Jack White. Let's take them in order today, Beer Mug, and start with line one. This is going to be the beautiful Elaine who joins us. Elaine is in Chino. Hi, Elaine. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I apologize in advance for what you are about to hear, but what Jack White song is Omar trying to sing here?
Can't think of anything to do, yeah. My left brain knows that all love is fleeting. She's just looking for something new, yeah. And she said once and before, it bears repeating now.
Yes, Elaine.
I believe that's Fell in Love with a Girl.
You are correct. You are in the drawing.
Ba-ba-boo-yah.
All right, Elaine is right. Omar, you've heard the song before, though, right?
Hey,
the song you're trying to sing.
Mug, by the way.
I know, that was fairly insulting. I apologize. All right, let's go. Up next is Laura. She is from Pomona. Hi, Laura.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Hi,
good morning. Hello.
How are you feeling about Omar Rocky for Jack White tickets?
I guessed the first one, so I'm hoping I can guess the next one.
All right, here's Omar.
Redhead senorita, looking dead, come on, she said, need a bed in Espanol. I said, give me a drink of water, I'm gonna sing around the collar, I don't need a microphone.
What do you think?
I'm gonna guess Icky Thump.
Yeah! Booyah! Jack White in the house, baby!
Oh, my God.
I had no idea Laura was going to come up with that. That is shocking. By the way, a lot of ladies seem to be calling in for our Jack White tickets. Have you noticed? Very high percentage of the ladies. Claudia is up next. She's from Upland. Hi, Claudia. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you, guys.
All right, we're two for two. Good luck. You'll be in the drawing if you can tell us what Jack White song Omar is attempting to sing here.
Well, women and children need kisses, not many in the life I know. And I've been going to Mystery and Mrs. I respect the art of the show.
That's the Denial Twist.
I'm sorry, it was my doorbell.
Sound just like that.
Oh, Claudia, I'm sorry.
She was so sad.
Nothing like that.
She was so sad. All right, let's go to Amy up next. Amy's on line four from Van Nuys. Hi, Amy.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Hello.
Well, we're really, our ears are bleeding is what's up. So if you could just hang on for like 10 seconds and survive Omar singing and tell us what song it is, you'll be in the drawing. Good luck.
All right, I got this.
Don't want to hear about it. Every single one's got a story to tell. Everyone knows about it from the Queen of England.
Yes, thank you so much for cutting him off. We appreciate it.
I wasn't even done.
All right, you're in the drawing. Let's do one more. Let's let one guy in. How about Keith? Right. He's in Santa Monica. He's on line five. Hey, Keith, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready to play?
Oh, yeah.
All right, good luck. Here's O.
When you have completed what you thought you had to do, and your blood's depleted to the point of stable glue, then you'll get along. Then you'll get along.
Yes, Keith.
Get along.
Get along, doggy.
I'm sorry. Steady as she goes. When you have completed what you thought you had to do. Big mistake letting a boy get in there. We got Elaine. We got Laura. We got Amy. All are in the drawing. All want to come to our Breakfast with Jack White and see him at the sold-out Fonda show. But Lisa May, only one will. Who's it going to be?
It is Elaine.
Yay! Let's go back to line one. Hi, Elaine.
I can't believe I won. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I apologize you had to endure, but thanks for playing Omaroki.
Oh, well worth it.
Omaroki, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
From the Los Angeles Kings, Jarrett Stoll joins us in about 20 minutes or so right here on the Kevin Bean Show. Also, next half hour, Ralph, the international man of mystery, Doto, is going to be here on the program.
I couldn't be more excited.
Doto got away from the old man. He's back in America, Kevin Bean. So we'll find out what his plans are to make it in show business. In the meantime, give me a little bit of my favorite theme song, would you please, Muggs, as we look ahead toward this Sunday night on HBO. How is it that we're already at the season 3 finale of Veep?
Aww. I am so sad. I'm going to be so sad when the show goes away. Here's my take. I've long suspected this, but this season has confirmed it. Veep is the best comedy on television.
Oh, I agree.
Whoa.
Absolutely. No, I agree.
Absolutely.
Whoa.
No, look, absolutely. It's the best written comedy on television by far, and this cast delivers those lines brilliantly. It's the only show that makes me laugh out loud consistently all episode long each and every week.
Yeah. I got to agree.
Hey, give me that theme again.
It's a very short theme.
Couldn't be more excited to welcome to the program for the first time the man who plays Dan Egan, the Deputy Director of Communications on Veep for the Vice President. Actor Reed Scott joins us on the show right now. Hey, Reed.
Hey, guys.
Well, if it isn't George Looney.
yeah, that's me. Yeah.
What's that a reference to, George Looney?
Well, Dan goes off the reservation at some point.
Oh, yes, he certainly does.
Season. When he comes back with his beard, they all welcome him with open arms by mocking his mental illness.
how keep the beard.
How did you grow a beard so fast between those two episodes, Reed?
Well, I come from a long line of Eastern European folk, and if we concentrate and clench our butt cheeks up real tight, we can sort of pop it out overnight. It was during our break. It was actually kind of funny. The show's creator, Armando Iannucci, brilliant Armando.
Yes.
At the beginning of the season, he asked me, what do you think about gaining 30 to 40 pounds for your character to have a first breakdown? And my initial reaction, I was like, oh, my God, I love that idea. That'd be great. He's like, okay, perfect. There should be plenty of time. We're going to be taking like a solid 3-week break around Christmas. I was like, there's no way. There's no way I could do that. He said, okay. Well, if you're not willing to take one for the team and, you know, and destroy your body
about
growing a beard. I said, yeah, I'll do that. Okay.
That you'll do. Exactly. Look, you guys have gotten so much love in the press, especially this season. But, I mean, Ralph could be right. You could be the funniest show on TV, and this cast is unbelievable. I mean, I can't even imagine what it's like trying to be an actor and just to keep up with the caliber of other actors on this show. I mean, do you guys have... Is it tough? I mean, are there a ton of breakdowns and outtakes from your show?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We're constantly breaking. But, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. I think this cast is incredible. We're very lucky to have everybody on board.
Reed, it's
rapid fire on set, for sure. It's definitely a lot of, you know, I mean, the zingers come fast and furious with this bunch, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you talk about the speed of the show. The writing is so dense. I was thinking your scripts must be twice as long as the average comedy because there's so many lines packed into it. I was watching the debate episode, and I was thinking this is like a David Mamet play. I mean, the way you guys were on top of each other and the layering and the speed that these jokes were coming out, it must be so difficult to shoot.
It is. It's a really unique kind of process, and you're absolutely right. That's very insightful. The scripts are actually almost twice as long as normal half hour television scripts, and they pack it in there. It's all about pace. But the writers, who are brilliant, they love editing. That's almost like their sort of their third pass. So they write the scripts, and we're constantly rewriting. And obviously, there's a lot of improvisation while we're shooting. And then in the editing booth, they sort of like tease out a whole new story. So there's often at times where, you know, I've seen an episode. I'm like, oh, my God, I don't even remember doing this, or this story has taken a completely different arc or a different direction than what we shot. But that's certainly what keeps it exciting.
Were you surprised by a show like this that's so inside the Beltway? You would expect to find a huge audience in D.C., of course, probably New York, probably Los Angeles. Are you surprised how big the thing is across the country from people who may have no other interest in politics whatsoever?
Absolutely. I think one of the biggest surprises is, like, kids that'll stop me. Like, you know, like high school, college-age kids who, you know, my first reaction is, what are you doing watching this this show? Like, shouldn't you out be, like, you know, smoking weed or getting drunk or doing whatever it is like kids do? And they're quoting this thing verbatim. It's really funny. I think they're drawn in by the creative profanity or something, but it's not an audience that none of us really expected.
Well, it definitely has the most creative profanity on TV. There's no question about that. I mean, you guys have it. Look, insults have been around as long as the written word has been around. But you guys manage every single week to come up with some insult that no one has ever said out loud before. And it's astonishing. Like, I almost feel like you must have a wing of writers whose only job it is to figure out hurtful things that you can say to one another.
We actually have a guy. There's one of our writers who's... he's just insane. He's so funny, so funny. Like an East End Cockney guy, Ian Martin, who we call our swear consultant. And every so often we'll sort of just throw to him, like, Ian, what would you do here? And he's just got a litany, like a laundry list of incredible insults. I don't know if he just thinks of these things off the top of his head or if he's got some, like, Rolodex of curse words, but they're incredible.
Yeah, I've been saying Pee Wee Sperman for a week now, actually.
you guys really film in the D.C. Baltimore area?
We do, yeah. We're pretty much stationed in Baltimore when we're shooting this. We started off in D.C., but as we came to learn, it's pretty hard to pull a permit for security reasons. I think there's a few people who think they're more important than we are.
And what's that like for all of you actors who are kind of, you know, stuck out there, kind of everybody kind of away from friends and family and whatnot, just kind of, you kind of have each other, right?
Yeah, Matt Walsh, who plays Mike, sort of nailed it season one. He said, wow, this is getting pretty theater campy. we're all stuck on top of each other. But in a way, it's great because it really keeps you focused. I mean, we're constantly doing bits. We're constantly thinking about the scripts. Tony Hale, Tim Simons, Matt Walsh, and I, and Kevin Dunn, we all stay at the same hotel and we play squash together now. But it's nice because the camaraderie keeps it going. So when we're on these, you know, 18-hour shoot days, sort of digesting these very dense scripts, we've got this wonderful shorthand. So it actually does sort of help the process.
Can you talk to Reed just real quickly about Julie Louis-Dreyfus? Because I think her performance of the season has been sort of remarkable.
I think she's someone who's really going places. I think
she has a future in the business. That's great.
I think she's going to do okay. She's a great kid. She's a great kid. No, she's incredible. It's embarrassing, you know, how lucky we all are to get to work with someone like her. I mean, she's an incredible, you know, comedian, an incredible actress. I don't know if you guys saw Enough Said.
Yes, I love that
she
film.
She was wonderful.
It's amazing. I think it really opened people's eyes up to the fact that she's not only just a very funny lady, but she's a wonderful actress. But mm-hmm. She's also a producer on the show, and she's just an incredible leader. Like, she's really always making everything better. It's an education to get to work with her. She's great.
But God bless America, though. If Selena ever gets to be president, I mean, can you imagine the shape this country would be in if that woman were running things?
Oh my God, we would all be so screwed.
or more screwed, I guess we say.
Yeah, more screwed, right? So two episodes for the finale this weekend, is that right?
Yeah, I got a couple of really big episodes coming up. Actually, they were. I don't know if we started drinking like the secrecy Kool-Aid or whatnot, but they started. You know, we the last two episodes we didn't get any scripts.
Oh,
we didn't know really what was going on. They actually kept it very close to the vest. They felt like madmen. They were like, you know, really, you know, apprehensive to let the actors know anything. But the episodes turned out, I don't want to give anything away, but they are fantastic. You will never see this stuff coming. And, yeah, there's a couple of very big surprises. So I think they thought they'd pack it all into one big night because it's just going to blow people's minds.
Now, it feels like to me at the end of last week's episode that Dan is back. I mean, he's been reinvigorated by the debate, and now he's back at full steam again, right?
Oh, the bastard is back.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, good.
All right. Two episodes. Season 3 finale airs this Sunday night, June 8th at 10 and 10:30 on HBO. And the good news is the show has already been renewed for a fourth season, so we'll see more of Veep next year in 2015. Reed, I'm so glad we had you on, man. We've been so lucky and so grateful that we've been able to have Tony on and Anna and Matt and Tim, and they've all been on the program before, but we've been wanting to talk to you for a long time. We're huge fans of your work on the show. Thanks so much for the time today.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Finally, Friday. Ralph Garman steps in. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on? What's happening? What's new? What's latest?
Speaking of Friday, tonight at 10 p.m., being that it's Friday, Kevin Smith and I return to the Improv on Melrose.
No.
With Hollywood Babylon.
No.
Yes.
Nine.
10
Nine.
p.m. You can get your tickets at improv.com or BabylonRalph.com. We still have a few seats left, so come on out and join us. We're going to have a good time. Because, you know, it's the beginning of Pride weekend there in West Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it?
So if you play your cards right, fellas, if I get enough Jack Daniels in me, anything goes. You know what I'm saying? We could have some fun behind the dumpster in the alley behind the Improv. That's all
no, thank you.
Come on now. Let's all party.
Wow! Hot lunch on the morning. Hey, what's going on? Hot lunch on the morning. I'm going to have some fun.
Hot fudge, holy moly. Looks like Jennifer Lopez and Casper Smart are calling it quits. After nearly 2.5 years together, who would have guessed they would have lasted 2.5 years?
Well, that's a good
question. Didn't know they made it to their silver anniversary.
They did. Well, that's in terms of show business. 2.5 years for a boy toy, that's pretty good longevity. That's
sure.
Pretty good shelf life.
Usually they age out by then.
For a backup dancer that Jennifer Lopez sort of picked out of a lineup and said, yes, I'll be banging him tonight. And then the fact that he got 2.5 years of basking in the magic that is J-Lo and also living in her beautiful home. Which he now apparently is packing up his stuff and been told to get out of.
Oh, his life's going to change.
Yeah, he won't be enjoying nearly the lifestyle that he has in the past 2.5 years. But
he's probably not allowed to write a book either, right?
I'm sure
there's some sort of confidentiality agreement.
However, they were being told the breakup was very civil. They're still friendly, but they simply grew apart. Differences of opinion. Casper wanted to keep her checkbook, and Jennifer Lopez once knew backup dancer penis. So, sometimes you're at cross purposes.
Yeah.
And he wants everyone to know this has nothing to do with the fact that he got busted sexting with a transsexual.
Oh, really?
It has nothing to do with that, Lisa.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, there was a story a couple months ago that she ran across his phone, and apparently there was some messages from Tina.
Oops.
Hi, I'm Tina.
Penis.
That's what Tina ended up having. But she's on the road promoting her new album, and he has plenty of time to pack up that one duffel bag he showed up with, and she can check the silver when she gets home to make sure everything's still there.
Back to his apartment in North Hollywood.
I'm guessing that's probably the case, yeah. I'm surprised that they had a relationship because, he seemed...
Come on.
What? You don't have to start sighing the minute I get into it.
You're surprised they had a relationship. Why, Ralph?
Because he was a young guy. She's older, and he was a good-looking fella. You know, I'm thinking his social calendar must have been full. He must have had all kinds of ladies and men and she-ladies and all kinds of people and sexually pursuing him. And yet, somehow, for the past 2.5 years, he was able to carve out all that time and energy to spend on one woman. But then I thought, well, that one woman, of course, is Jennifer Lopez. So it struck me as I did the permutations. There's always room for J-Lo.
Yeah,
felt good.
Still got the kids on your side.
Farrah Abraham.
Guilty.
Absolutely. But in this case, she's not charged with anything. She is currently working on her Christian parenting book.
Farrah Abramson?
Wait, she's the backdoor teen mom, right?
She is the backdoor teen mom, yes. The teen mom turned porn star is hard at work, working on a book, according to In Touch Weekly magazine. Inspired by her love of God, it's a Christian parenting book.
How long has she loved God? When she was getting the vaginal molds made to sell in the sex shops?
Have you ever seen her work, Bean? She is constantly saying, oh, God! Oh, God! Oh, God! Well, and she's an excellent parent, too, because she only leaves her 4-year-old daughter for months at a time to go out on the road to appear in strip clubs. So, look. That's a standard of parenting almost anyone can live up to.
That's a good point.
So, oh, my God.
I think this book will come in handy. And
good luck with that.
Gene Simmons of the legendary rock group Kiss is producing a new series for Lifetime. When you think Lifetime, you think Gene Simmons, don't you?
Sure.
It's called Ugly Models. The reality show will follow a UK modeling agency that works with people with unique and unusual looks. And they are making their way into the U.S. market.
So if an agency needed a before photo, for instance, or an actor to play the before in some sort of a workout video, they might come to a guy like Beer Mug and hire him for the spot,
exactly.
Right?
Beer Mug could work for this modeling agency.
Sounds like it.
Amongst its models are the Guinness World Record tallest man, Sultan Kozin, who's over 8 feet tall. They've got a woman with over 2,520 piercings on her body.
Wow.
Yeah, this is the unusual, the unique, the ugly, if you will. Ugly Models is the name of the series. According to Rolling Stone, the modeling agency's motto is, any beauty can be airbrushed, but we want to have true character. That's true. Beauty is skin deep, but ugly goes right to the bone. That's what they're saying.
I mean, I guess that makes sense. You know, I was thinking about the, you know, the Judy Greer commercial that she does with the family with the hamster and everything.
Right.
They've got that one, you know, punk rock kid who's got the weird tattoos and the, you know, the mohawk and everything.
Sure.
I mean, you need to be able to find an actor like that for a commercial as well, right?
Yes. In advertising, you need all different types. And these people specialize in, especially for print and advertising, unique and strange looking people.
My God, she's unappealing.
So again,
that might be interesting.
I think so. I think it'd be much more interesting than watching America's Next Top Model, the same breed of skinny girl walking down a catwalk. Today's celebrity birthdays. Paul Giamatti, one of my favorite actors of all time, 47 years old today. We are not drinking Merlot. Colin Quinn is 55 years old, and Robert Englund, Freddy Krueger himself, is 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Go, Kings, go!
Yeah.
You said it, Will Ferrell. You ain't never lied. Ralph, you were just saying on the air a couple of days ago, of all the great sports that there are in this wonderful world of ours, there's nothing like playoff hockey. Nothing like
it. It is the greatest championship round of any professional sport, in my personal opinion. Nothing's more exciting than the Stanley Cup Final, and just every game is just loaded with drama. The first game of this series, certainly no exception. Hey, here's my theory. My theory is that the Los Angeles Kings are so good, it's not even interesting to them unless they spot the other team a two-goal lead. That's what they need to do to get themselves interested in the game. They have to let the other team score twice before they even wake up, before they even
show
up.
Well, let's run your crazy theory by Jarrett Stoll from the Los Angeles Kings, who is 3 wins away from hoisting the Stanley Cup trophy above his head one more time with the Kings. Hi, Jarrett. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. How are you, sir?
Hey, guys. I'm awesome right now. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Jarrett, am I right? It's hard for you guys to even get interested in the game until you give them a couple goals just to make things sporting, right?
We don't like to hear that, but you know, it's been the case the last couple of games, maybe throughout the series, throughout the playoffs even a little bit, but I don't know what it is. There's a lot of comebacks, not only in our series, but in other series that went on too, so means for exciting hockey, I guess, but it's just we definitely don't want to be doing that too much here, especially starting tomorrow night.
You guys seem to wake up more as the game went on in the first game. The first period seemed like you guys were still getting your legs under you, and then were you guys a little bit tired going in?
Yeah, I don't know. We just didn't have the jump. We didn't have our legs. Very sloppy, turning over the puck. Just didn't look like our type of team, our type of game. And we slowly got it going by the third period. But definitely lucky enough to come out with the win. I don't know if we deserve that one, but we can't always be pretty. We'll definitely take it. And,
that's right.
Be better tomorrow.
You probably have never – look, you've been playing hockey for a long time since you were a little kid, Jarrett. But you probably never played as much hockey as you have in the last month with 3 7-game series, all of which included overtime games, and game one of the Stanley Cup Final including an overtime game. You must feel like you're living on the ice.
Yeah, you just – you know, the off days, you just got to take care of your body, get it ready for the next game, and just keep going. It's too much fun to not give it your all and to play hard and for your teammates, for your fans, for the city, everybody. So it's we've experienced it a couple years ago, how much fun it is, and we know we're close. We want to break through and have another great time like that.
Well, the city is definitely behind you. I don't know, you probably don't even have time to pay attention to stuff like this, but the ratings were through the roof, particularly in Southern California for this game one, and it's so great to see hockey getting that kind of respect on NBC, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I know you guys are only looking ahead. I mean, I know that's all you can do right now is you're thinking about nothing but the Rangers, but can you just talk for just 1 minute about what it was like for you guys in the San Jose series? Did you ever really think you guys were out of it even when you were down by 3 games?
You know what? No, not really. Our type of group, we just keep going.
Jared?
You have to obviously stay alive, and then going into San Jose and winning game five was probably the biggest turnaround, the biggest game that we had to win. Once you start turning the momentum and creating doubt in their mind, that's That's the game I think we did it the most. Game five, yep. Winning there. And coming back home for game six, we were rolling. And, you know, going back there for game seven, that we were going to be tough to stop. And momentum's a crazy thing, especially in the playoffs. And it showed it there. But, you know, our group is just so solid and so much character and grit. We just, found a way to make it happen.
You know, Jared, what's been impressing me about the team is how you guys are getting contributions from everybody across the board. I mean, every team has a few stars on it that play really well, but it looks like everybody is really picking up their game this series.
You have to be playing right now in June. It has to be that way. I don't see it any other way for it to work. It's, everybody has their all-stars, like you just said. You know, we got Kopitar, Doughty, Quickie, Internet. So, we got our guys, but you got to have your role players, your guys that, maybe don't play as much as those guys play, but chip in offensively and defensively. And, you know, especially with the league, the way it is now, everybody plays. Four lines, six defensemen, your goaltender, everybody contributes. And that's a big reason why we're still playing here.
Yeah, I think Kyle Clifford's going to have like 20 goals this series. I think that's what's going to happen.
That would be great. That would be a good thing for us.
I don't know how much you want to say about the Rangers, but just as a fan who was watching the game, and I haven't seen a lot of Rangers games this year until the playoffs, I was amazed at how fast those guys are, how many guys they have that are so, I mean, every single face-off you guys, every single skate, you guys are really having to turn it on 100% just to keep up with them. I think we lost them again.
Oh, no, I'm here. I'm back.
There we go. Okay. Yeah.
No, they are fast. It's a thing that we knew going in. We just maybe weren't awake the first little couple periods there with their speed. But their wingers are just chip the puck and race after. We're really going to have to be on top of that tomorrow night and slow them down any way possible, and we will.
And I don't think you can say enough about how Quick has been playing for you guys, but on the other end of the ice, Lundqvist, he's having a hell of a season, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, we want to stop that, though. We want to get to him. And, to be honest, I don't care what kind of season he's having. We want to we know what kind of season our team and our goaltender's having, and we want to get to him. And we've got to every other goaltender during this playoff run. So it's not going to be easy. He's definitely an elite goalie in this league, and he's won a lot. He just hasn't won the Stanley Cup yet, so we want to make sure that doesn't happen.
This is the voice of Jared Stoll here on the Kevin Beach Show, talking about the Kings, of course, playing Game 2 in the Stanley Cup Final against the Rangers tomorrow night. One more question for me, Jared, and that is this. I know this is what you dream about your whole life, is to play for the Cup, and you're lucky enough to be doing it again, but is it fun this week, or is it just nothing but preparation and work and pressure and just thinking, and are you able to even enjoy it yet?
Yeah, it's both. It's everything you just said. It's it's pressure, a lot of preparation, getting your body ready and getting, making sure your game plan is set and you execute it. But at the same time, it's fun. You want to be playing right now. We don't want to be, summer doesn't start yet. Summer starts in a couple weeks for us, and that's the only reason why you play. It's the only reason why you ever started playing hockey, to play games like this that mean so much. And when there's only one game on TV, one game in the NHL playoffs every night, and that's the one we're playing. So that's just the most important thing for us.
Well, I just can't wait till it's over and you guys win again, and to see, because I've got money in Vegas on whether Coach Sutter actually smiles at the end of it or not. I'm not sure if he's going to break down, like, get all crazy and emotional, but he might just smile if you win another cup.
Oh, geez, that would be something, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. Well, Jarrett, we're behind you, man. Congratulations. Phenomenal season. So much fun to watch you guys, and we're all pulling for you. Thanks so much for the time on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Whistle it, Lisa. Whistle it. Let's hear it. No, seriously, whistle. That's all she's got. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on K-Rock. Kimberly Jones from Laguna Hills is too. She just won her way into our Breakfast with Jack White next Thursday morning in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. Your chance to win is coming up. Plus, we got more Black Keys tickets. Don't forget, those tickets go on sale this morning at 10 a.m. for that show, November 6th at the Forum. Your chance to win between 9 and 10. Who is ready for Doto, the international man of mystery, the Asian sensation himself? Hit it, Steve. I need some babes.
Kevin and Bean, this one thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin and Bean. I need a woman.
Woo! I need a woman. I was in Vietnam. I definitely need a Korean woman.
My first memory is I just love the buffets in Las Vegas. I love the flan. It has a lot of sugar.
Life's a box of chocolate, Bean.
Did you get her phone number?
Yeah.
Have you called it?
Yeah, I called and she changed her number.
Why'd you tuck away some knives in a behind an air conditioner vent in a nondescript bag? No, seriously.
That's not mine, man.
I drank your milkshake.
I'm sorry.
Why not, Bean? This is America.
And now the further adventures of Toto, international man of mystery, man. Yeah.
He is the most interesting man in the world, and now that Dr. Angelou is gone, he may be America's poet laureate. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Doto to the Kevin O'Brien Show. Hi, Do.
Hey, Bean. Long time haven't seen you, man. I like to come to Seattle sometime, Bean.
Oh, Seattle is closed. I'm sorry, Doe. We're not accepting any new visitors until next year.
What Bean means is that he would love to have you down, Doe.
Shut up, Omar. Don't need your help with this. So, Doe, first of all, when did you get back to the United States from your Asian adventure?
Maybe a week ago, 2 weeks ago, Bean, Kevin.
Bean, it's just me, just Bean. And are you going to be sticking around for a while? You're going to be staying in the United States for some time now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yesterday, when I was doing my interviews, I was a little bit nervous. I haven't done it for a while, Bean.
Okay. Now, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. I think you went out with DJ Omar Khan to do some interviews yesterday on the street, and I think we're going to be going through that tape and playing some of that next week. But I wanted to ask.
Yesterday, I was talking about Canada. I was talking about. I was asking people. Like a dating service, dating advice.
Okay. All right. Sounds like you're the right guy to sit down for interviews. So I wanted to ask Omar in because he said even before you guys got to the interview that maybe there was a little bit of a miscommunication or a little bit of problem with you guys getting to the location. What happened, Doe?
Because Omar says that I accidentally erased the tape recorder, but it was unintentional.
No, we're not talking about that. You did that too, but we're not talking about that.
Doe erased the interviews?
Yeah, he didn't record like a half hour chunk that we spent down there.
Ah.
Yeah.
So what happened with getting down there, though?
So getting down there, we were going to Hollywood and Highland, and he was going to follow me. And, you know, when you follow somebody, you stay about pretty close, closer than you would normally drive to somebody's car. You know, maybe like two car lengths. Doe was literally maybe 10, maybe 12 car lengths behind me the entire time.
Not 10, maybe 5 or 6 car lengths, Alma.
Whoa, Doe.
Just joking, man.
All right, the point was you were afraid that you were going to lose him because he was following you, so you kind of needed to keep slowing down so that he could keep you in view.
Hey, Ken, Bean, I'm a little bit nervous driving to Hollywood, Bean, because you know there's a lot of crazy drivers, Bean.
It sounds like you might be one of those crazy drivers, though. What's your problem with driving in traffic?
I don't have a problem. I guess I'm just too used to driving to. I'm just pretty much too used of driving to Orange County, Bean, because it's a pretty conservative place.
Though, did I or did I not have to pull over twice on the way?
Yep. Yes, you did, Alma.
Okay, so that's because you were really far behind me, wasn't it?
Of course.
Right.
Sorry, man.
Okay.
Okay. All right. But you got there and you did some interviews, and that's what I wanted to talk to you about because now that you are back in the U.S. for some time, Doto, I am being told that you are serious now about pursuing your dreams of making it in the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
Was there more to that, Doe, or that's just it? Just, yeah.
I said, yes, sir. I said, like, we can do it. I really like to get into talk show, Kevin Bean.
Okay.
So I really like to do interviews, Bean.
So is that, do you think that that's your strength, your Charlie Rose, your Larry King? You think that's the entertainer you want to be as a guy who is famous for his interview skills?
At this point, it may be too hard. Nobody can foresee the future, right, Bean?
Because that's correct, yes.
We can give it a shot and see how it goes because you and I cannot predict the future, Bean.
No, we can't predict the future, but we can certainly make a rational assessment of what the likelihood is of success.
It's probably not going to happen, right, Bean?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I thought you were serious.
Stop being so negative, Doto. You're a tremendous talent. Don't forget that.
Yeah, but I know there's no guarantees, but I thought we can give it a shot, Bean.
Okay, but you're willing to actually commit to us and to work hard and to show up and to do interviews like every week or something like that to try to get this thing going? Because I feel like you've been talking about it for a long time, but you haven't been willing to put in the work, Doe.
Oh.
Yeah, because, for example, Doto, yesterday we were down there an hour, and then we found out that you had accidentally erased a half-hour chunk of the audio. And so I said that, all right, we're going to need to stay another 20 more minutes, and you got kind of ticked off at me that we had to stay there a little longer.
No.
Well, that's a different version of events right there. So, Doto, you're back. You're healthy. You're tanned. You're rested. You're strong. You're ready to get out there, and you're ready to get it done.
Yeah, but what can I question? Can I ask in the future for interviews? Do you mind? What kind of question do you mind being?
Well, you can ask whatever you want, Doe. I mean, that's the beauty of being an interviewer is you can choose whatever questions you – whatever things you're interested in, whatever topics you think are current
you know
or in the news.
You know what? Steven Seagal.
Perfect.
Or Steven Seagal. You can always bring up Steven Seagal, I guess. All right, Doe, so you're back, and we're going to have some interviews on the air from you for next week then, from the stuff that you guys got yesterday, okay?
And Bean, can I ask you a quick question, Bean?
Of course, Doe. Anything you want.
I don't get it, man. I've been seeing this Chinese lady. Like, she's 43 years old, and she has two kids, and she's been divorced twice. Bean, what's the likelihood of her working out with me? Very likely, very slim, because she's been divorced two, and she's a financial advisor.
I mean, I think, you know, somebody is always looking for love. Just because they've had divorces in the past doesn't mean they're not still open to finding new romance. I don't think you should let that stand in your way.
You know, when I'm statistically, is it likely that's going to work out? You think statistically it's probably not going to work out very likely because if this gal's been divorced twice because she has a pattern of because she didn't get she
okay,
it, it didn't work out with the first two husbands.
Let me say this. It depends what you mean by work out. Is it likely that you will marry her and live together for the rest of your life in happiness?
Of course,
probably
of
not.
That's what I mean, Bean. What's the likelihood of that happening?
Yeah, Bean.
I mean, I don't think. Look, you haven't. You've barely been out with her, or haven't been out with her at all yet. I don't think you need to be worrying about the long term future
as a
yet.
Fact, when I got back, you know, I went out to dinner with her on Sunday night.
Okay, so you went out to dinner with her. Don't sweat what it's going to be like in 20 years yet. Just take it week to week and see if you guys even want to be together. Date her for a little while first before you panic.
And then another problem being is that on January 21st, I went out with a Chinese lady, and she's almost 40 years old. She's been divorced twice too, being, and she's a Shanghai lady. And she's and her concern is how come you were in Asia? You kind of left me hanging, man, for two damn months.
I don't know what to tell you about that. I think you just need to answer the questions honestly and just take it week to week. Don't worry about the future. Just you live for today, Doe. Like you said, no one has any crystal ball to guarantee the future. Just do what you can do today to make today the best day you can, okay?
Well, yeah, why not, Bean, right? Yeah, because maybe I want to come to Seattle, man. I haven't been there since
1986. Absolutely. Yeah! We're going to Seattle.
All right, Doe. Well, listen, we're out of time for now, but we are going to talk to you and play some of your interviews next week, if that's okay. You have yourself a terrific weekend, my friend, okay?
Thanks, Kevin Bean. Thanks, Bean.
All right. Bye, Doe.
Toto, international man of mystery, man. Yeah.
Lisa, you're not a big sports fan.
No.
So you see us getting all excited about the Stanley Cup final this week and the NBA finals, and when the Super Bowl comes around, you don't really care about any of them. How about soccer? Any love for soccer?
Nope.
World Cup?
Nope.
World Cup!
I'm interested to see if Kevin dies.
Well, Kevin's got a one-way ticket to Brazil. There's no question he and Brad Williams are not coming back from Brazil. I've love the World Cup. I look forward to it every 4 years. And this is a great story. And, you know, just like with any sport, the key is having your athletes be healthy. I mean, that's what you need going into an event like this. You need to have your athletes be healthy.
Sure.
And if you are, if you got a witch doctor working against you, if you're Cristiano Ronaldo and all of a sudden you keep coming up lame with all sorts of mystery ailments and you can't figure out why and the doctors can't find anything wrong with you, but you keep getting hurt, you can't play, then you got to be concerned when a witch doctor takes credit for it and says, yeah, it's all me. I'm the guy who's kind of trying to keep him out of the World Cup or at least make sure he doesn't get to play in the first game against Ghana. I'm working on him all the time. I've been saying all along I hate that guy and I want to keep him out of the game. So a Ghana witch doctor named Nana Kwaku Bansum says he's the reason that Cristiano Ronaldo, one of the most famous athletes in the world, may not be able to play in his first World Cup game on June 26th. We wanted to find out more about this. We've got the witch doctor himself on the line. Dr. Bansum, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Please call me Nana.
Nana. All right, Nana. So first of all, what's your beef with Ronaldo?
I would not have any football player beating my team from Ghana.
Oh, that's what it is. He's playing against your home country's team. That's why you want their best player out.
He's playing for Portugal.
Uh-huh.
I am from Ghana.
I see.
And I will do whatever it takes to keep him out of the game against Ghana.
Okay. So how do you do it? I mean, would I be asking you to give away trade secrets if I ask how your voodoo works?
I make a special spirit come down Quadricapam. Quadricapam is the spell I've used on Cristiano Ronaldo.
Okay.
I make it out of dogs.
Out of, what? Excuse me, out of dogs, Nana?
Yes, dogs. Woof, woof, dogs.
Yeah, I know what a dog is, but how do you, what do you, I'm terrified to ask.
I had to find four dogs and use them to manufacture that special spirit, Kapam.
What do you do with the dogs?
Hey, I take dogs. Okay, you know Vitamix Blender? You know what that is?
Oh,
no, don't even say that.
No.
You're the back.
Wait, who's with you there, Nana?
My assistant, Omar.
Omar, okay, all right.
You heard Cuisinart. You know Cuisinart in your country.
So yes. You put a dog in the Cuisinart and
you
blend?
Need a big Cuisinart. Four dogs.
An awfully big Cuisinart.
Four,
yeah,
four
okay.
Small dogs. Either
four
way,
small dogs.
Recipe
okay.
Is the same.
All right.
And then I used that in the special incantation, you say? And then I come down bringing Quadricapam, a special curse to put on Cristiano Ronaldo, keep him from playing in the World Cup.
Okay.
Papa, I am the Devil of Wednesday.
The Devil of Wednesday is what you're called, I understand.
They call me the Devil of Wednesday.
All right. So this injury can never be cured by any doctor.
No,
they can never see what is causing it because
no.
It is spiritual. Today
that
it is his knee. Tomorrow it is his thigh. The next day it is something else. So
yes.
No matter what they do to Ronaldo, you're going to figure out a way to overcome that with your voodoo magic.
Whatever they do, the voodoo is more powerful. And I get this special sauce from the doctor. And then I use this incarnation. Ooh! Yee! Ooh! Ah! Ting! Tang! Wala wala! Big bang! I told Ronaldo that I would screw up his leg.
There it is.
I told Ronaldo that I would screw up his leg. And now I would stop it. No one care how much they beg. I say that ooh ee ooh ah ah ding dang wala wala bing bang. Ooh ee ooh ah ah ding dang wala wala bing bang. I said that ooh ee ooh ah ah ding dang wala wala bing bang. Ooh ee ooh ah ah ding dang wala wala bing bang.
Hey, whatever works, right?
I'm the Devil of Wind.
Chains a little drop for me.
Like to hear the Witch Doctor's take on that song. I think
yeah.
You can do them all.
Crazy.
Hey, Friday morning on the Kevin Bean Show. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. And don't forget, between 9 and 10, more chances for you to win tickets for those Black Keys coming to the Forum. The show's not till November. Tickets on sale this morning at 10, though, so you can win them before you can even buy them coming up next hour. What's going on, Ralph?
Tonight at 10 p.m. at the Melrose Improv, I will be performing with my buddy Kevin Smith, bringing Hollywood Babylon back to the stage. Love to have you come on out and join us. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets and more details. And then tomorrow at 1, I'm going to be at the Golden Apple Comic Book Store at Melrose and La Brea, right there on Melrose. I'll be signing copies of Batman 66 Meets the Green Hornet, my new comic book.
No!
She's doing very well. I'm very pleased.
It's
and
very
speaking
cool.
Of tomorrow, we've also, big day tomorrow, we've got the K-Rock Microbrew at Santa Anita.
Yeah!
It is the Belmont Stakes. K-Rock Microbrew will be there. Stryker's going to be there. Omar, Dave the King of Mexico. Beer Mug has been banned. He's not allowed to go, so you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
That's tomorrow, June the 7th at Santa Anita Park. Newfound Glory will also be performing. You get to play the ponies. You have some beers. You listen to the band. You watch the Belmont Stakes. What could be more fun? Well, how about doing it for nothing? I've got a VIP package right now that gives you four VIP admissions. So it's you and three friends. You get backstage access. You get four drink tickets. And you get $106 in the form of a voucher that you can use to place a bet at the window there at Santa Anita.
Giddy up.
It is a good time. Beer Mug, you're not going, right? You won't be there?
I didn't want to make you a liar, Ralph, so...
So you won't go?
I'm not going.
Good man. All right. Well done.
How can we get it so that you don't go to K-Rock every day? How can we make that happen?
If we just say he won't be in, maybe he doesn't want to make us a liar. He won't show up to work.
I like it.
Call me now, 1-800-520-1067. Let's see, caller number 7, since it is June the 7th tomorrow. Caller number 7 will win this VIP package for the Microbrew at Santa Anita.
I suspect people will be tuning into that Belmont Stakes tomorrow or watching it there at Santa Anita that never watch horse racing because the threat of a Triple Crown winner is still very much alive.
36 years it's been since we've had a Triple Crown winner. And California Chrome, our own homegrown filly, could be the winner, could be the big winner. I'll be following. Jessica Alba is a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a nice lady and she's a good head on her shoulders. And good stuff under her shoulders, too. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Hello, you're singing on? Hello. I didn't know this, but she came from a military family. When she was a kid, her father was serving our country, and she spent a lot of time in armed forces hospitals because she was sick with allergies, and she had chronic asthma and kidney issues and appendix and tonsil problems.
Booby!
And she those came later. She said it was really tough on her family. So here's what she did, which I thought was pretty sweet. She threw a massive baby shower for military wives who are with child. For ladies whose husbands are stationed all over the world in the armed forces. She picked up the tab and bought diapers for the moms. And gifts were received. And everybody attending apparently had nothing but nice things to say about Jessica Alba. So that's a pretty cool
giggity
thing for her.
Giggity, giggity.
Beautiful and nice.
No matter
how creepy Bean wants to make it, it was a pretty nice thing to do. Congratulations to the B boys. They won a judgment yesterday against Monster Energy Drink for $1.7 million. Suit's been ongoing for a couple of years. They sued Monster for using a mega mix of Beastie Boy tunes in a video for a snowboarding competition the drink was sponsoring. They didn't have the group's permission, however, and they never would have got it because, famously, of course, the Beastie Boys will not allow their music to be used in any sort of promotional campaign. And they were true to their word because when Monster did that, they sued them and they got paid. Monster's lawyers actually admitted they were wrong, but they said we should only have to pay $125,000. Well, I'm sure that's what you wanted to pay, but it turns out you can't just break laws like that.
Yeah.
Ralph, we were talking about this story earlier today on the program, and I was a little bit surprised and frankly concerned. One of the members of the Beastie Boys, remaining members, was talking about how, we don't use our songs in commercials, but we sure could use the money.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a surprise to me because you think about the Beastie Boys having been successful for so long and making so much money, but they're probably not selling a lot of records these days because who is?
Right.
They won't tour, can't tour again, say right. The band is done with MCA gone, and they won't license their music for commercials. So what streams of income do they have coming in?
I know. It's tough. And they said, look, if it was up to us, we would license it. But MCA's final request in his will, as well as to us personally, he said that he doesn't want the music used. And he said, out of respect to him, we follow that. We strict.
Pretty easy for him to say that, though, not having to pay a mortgage.
Look, I hear you, but what are you going to do?
What are you going to do indeed? I mean, they're definitely in a tight spot.
Schwarzenegger's movie, Sabotage, came to them and said, we want to use the song Sabotage in the advertising campaign, the commercials. The guys are like, we'd like to, but no, we can't do it.
Wow.
Now they're going to sue us. Oh, great. Great. I don't have that kind of money. What am I supposed to scrape together $1.7 million? Good work, beer mug. Oh, you ruined everything.
Sorry.
It's coming out of you. It's coming out of your food budget.
I can't afford that.
Oh, you spend that on lunch in a month.
I need to keep that for lunch.
Today's
Fire beer mug.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Robert Englund is 67 years old today. Comedian Colin Quinn is 50.
Elizabeth Duran from Los Angeles, by the way, won the latest pair of tickets for the Black Keys. That show is going to be at the Forum on November the 6th. Don't forget, tickets are going on sale in about 20 minutes or so. Go to KROQ.com for all the details and how you can win. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, boys and girls, children
ready
of all
to land
ages?
This 747 for the week?
Let's do this. Let's go all Captain Sully on this stuff. What do you say?
Put it right
in the river. Before I say goodbye for the weekend, I do want to give away some more tickets to our very special premiere event, 22 Jump Street.
Yay!
Special premiere screening is happening Tuesday, June the 10th at the Village Westwood Theater. Channing Tatum, Jonah Hill, Ice Cube all return for the sequel to the wildly successful 21 Jump Street. Now they're in college. They were in high school in the first film. This looks very funny. And you'll get to go and see the red carpet, see the movie. All happens June 10th. Call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through get a pair of passes to our special premiere screening of 22 Jump Street and the movie.
You know, you can't keep Lisa away from Channing Tatum.
I know. He's asked us. But
she loves Channing.
Look, we're not in charge of her. She wants to put him in penises in the news.
I'm going to do that thing like that guy did with Brad Pitt.
Oh,
I'm just going to jump the line and grab his leg.
Ukrainian
and,
nut loaf.
Yeah,
who,
exactly.
Jumped on him.
Yeah.
Wait, is that a new sex position? Is it
the Ukrainian nut loaf? Yeah.
Huh.
22 Jump Street's in theaters everywhere June the 14th. If you don't win, you can still go see it then. Real quick correction, while talking about the Belmont this weekend, I said that California Chrome was a filly, and a lot of racing enthusiasts called me out on that. And, of course, he is a colt and or stallion.
He's a he?
He's a he.
Okay.
On
the outside.
Good to know.
That's what I'm saying. But, you know, I've seen him in the stables and...
you know what's going on inside his pretty little head.
Look, it's his personal life. I'm not. Who am I to judge?
Yeah, like you're going to out a horse. Come on.
Right. He can live his life any way he sees fit. Morrissey has postponed yet another concert. His website, he says he's still not feeling well. Well, that would be every concert you have to cancel if that's the case, isn't it? He never seems to be happy. But he's apparently got a virus and his crew is sick. And I don't know what's going on with that bunch, but...
Look, I hate to suggest this, but maybe he should examine his diet.
A little meat? Is that what you're saying?
He sure seems to get awfully sick a lot of the time. It makes me think that maybe he needs a little something that he's refusing to eat.
Nothing a burger wouldn't cure, Morrissey.
Maybe.
How about some duck?
Oh, I'm
duck
not getting into the
guys.
Middle of this one.
No, not you with your leaky
you guys
gut.
And the letters and
no.
The, oh my God.
Yeah. Jennifer Lopez and Casper Smart have called it quits after 2.5 years. The couple is splitting up amicably, all friends say. Well, of course. No one show
like
business.
Celebrities do.
No one show business ever has a bad breakup. They're still friendly, but simply grew apart.
Why?
Well, maybe it has something to do with the fact that Jennifer caught him sexting with a transsexual.
Oops.
But he says, no, that's not the reason. And a source, a friend of his, says he would never knowingly text the transsexual. He says he's a single guy. He likes to look at a little TNA online, but he did not know that the gentleman he was talking to was, in fact, a transsexual. So,
and I don't think that made any difference in this story with Jennifer Lopez either. If he's sexting around, that's not what she wants in her boyfriend anyway.
Right.
Regardless of who's on the other end of the phone.
Yeah, right. I think it's better that it's a transsexual. Because obviously that means it's something that she can't offer. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, you got that butt, J-Lo, but you don't have the front. You know what I'm saying?
Penis.
You got back, but you don't have front.
Mm-hmm. Penis.
That's yes, I understand, Lisa. I know what I'm saying.
Just trying
you don't
to
need
be a
to...
little more direct for people who aren't getting it.
Jeez, how about being a little oblique?
We're on the sausage hunt right now.
All right, Bean, you too. Casey Kasem, now in critical condition at St. Anthony's Hospital in Western Washington State. Boy, your state's a mess, Bean. All kinds of honked up stuff's going on up there. What's wrong with you?
I got to go visit Casey right in the hospital.
No, I don't.
Sure you do.
I don't think he needs any more problems. He was rescued, basically, by his kids last week. They were able to show up with an ambulance and get him away from his crazy wife, Jean, who was throwing meat at people. Now he's in the hospital. He is alert, appears comfortable at the time, says a spokesperson. He's getting intravenous antibiotics as well as blood pressure meds to take care of him, but then treatment for his bed sores too, which makes me, this is the saddest part of the whole story. That
yeah, absolutely.
He was just allowed to lay around long enough to get bed sores, so hopefully he'll get better and
he's down on the phone.
Yeah, get down on the phone. Get him over there.
Don will take care of
help
it.
Help Casey out. Hopefully he'll be able to live out the remainder of his life in comfort as opposed
yeah.
to living with the hamburger helper. And, speaking of Bean's crazy state, Bean.
What now?
It's your fault.
A Seattle pot dispensary is being sued by Hershey's.
Yeah.
Because they sell Reefer's peanut butter cups.
You don't have to tell me.
See? Because it's Reefer's peanut butter cups, not Reese's peanut butter cups. Hershey's suing them for a trademark infringement lawsuit saying people might get confused.
People who just wander into a pot store off the street
I
looking
just want
for
chocolate.
Candy.
I'm not here for any pot. I'm just here for chocolate. Do you have any chocolate without pot in it? Well, try
Wait,
a Reefer's peanut butter cups.
There's marijuana in this chocolate that I bought at the dispensary? What?
They would like them to stop selling another item immediately as well, a pot-laced candy item called Mr. Dank Bar. Because they believe people could confuse that with Mr. Goodbar.
They should start naming porn videos.
They really should.
They're really good.
And by the way, hello, Hershey's. The people smoke pot are your bread and butter, okay? So
yeah, don't piss them off.
A little less Sue in the pot dispenser. He's a little more Sue in Jenny Craig. You know what I'm saying? That's where
I'm so high.
That's who's hurting your business. It's not the pot dispensaries. I like after a big bowl more than a handful of Reefer's peanut butter cups.
Exactly.
You got any weed?
No, but ask Beer Mug. And would you like to see Ghostbusters back up on the big screen?
Woo! Sure, why not?
Good news. Sony Pictures has announced yesterday they're bringing back the classic comedy. They're bringing it back to theaters for its 30th anniversary. It's hard to believe it's been 30 years since that movie was first released. Restored, remastered. That version will be available to you starting August the 29th, so you can check that out.
Back
now, let me ask...
I'm a scientist.
That's right.
Let me ask you guys this. I know Kevin would never go see an old movie on the big screen, even if he loved it, because it's stupid, dumb, and absurd.
He might with Ghostbusters, though.
Really? You think so?
He loves that film.
Would you guys... Do you guys ever do that when things get re-released, old movies?
Oh, hell yeah.
Almost never.
What? Because a lot of people don't. A lot of people won't because they go, well, why should I? It's already on cable, you know?
But that is not... You can't compare the two experiences. You go down to the Egyptian or you go to the New Beverly over there in Beverly for some of their revivals, and you see those movies back up on the big screen the way they were intended. It's a whole different experience. So much fun.
Yeah.
I've gone to see It's a Wonderful Life in the theaters several years in a row at Christmas time, by the way. I love that experience. When I was in Las Vegas a couple weeks to visit Chief, we went to the movies. We went to see the Godzilla movie, and they had Godfather Part 1 and Part 2 coming to the theater there.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And I thought, how awesome would that be to see on the big screen again?
That would be great. Why don't you go, Lisa?
I just don't have time to see the movies I want to see that are new, much less go see the old ones.
Yeah, I suppose that's a problem.
That's a tough one.
And it's hard to find a theater that takes dogs, too. I'm sure.
I know. Boner's got to go.
Well, I know. You got to give Boner his own bucket of popcorn. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Robert Englund. Best known, of course, as Freddy Krueger, all those many years on Elm Street. 67 years old today. Comedian Colin Quinn turns 55. And actor Paul Giamatti, one of my favorites, 47 years old.
President Adams.
Yeah, and the Rhino.
That's right.
Right now in Spider-Man 2. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph. Hey, we got a great week of guests for you right here on K-Rock. Next week on the Kevin and Bean Show, the beautiful Cat Deeley comes by.
Oh,
so you think you can dance? Comedian Jenny Slate is going to be here. Rob Delaney and the Bachelorette Report.
Hey! Bogart, the joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
We've got ourselves a bleeder.
Don't bogart the joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Damn, that girl is tight.
Roll another one.
She does have great cans.
Just like the other one.
Whoop, there it is.
This one seems to be about to quit.
My world is a waste of breath.
I need another hit.
Can I just say that of all the idiots, in all the idiot villages, in all the idiot worlds, you stand alone, my friend.
Roll. Roll another one.
You're so large.
Just like the other one.
That was incredibly awkward.
Seems to be about.
Did you see the memo about
I don't have another cent.
Did you guys know Ryan Seacrest tried to high-five a blind guy?
I love Jesus, but I drink a little.
Let's pass it around.
B-hole has it over the A-hole for sure.
I'm in a boner.
Closing time, man.
Hey, can I just hang out for a while?
Do you not know what closing means?
When will this insanity stop? When will enough people say, stop this madness? We don't have to live like this.
Well, so are you trying to tell us that you're leaving?
Oh, I wouldn't put it that way, Mr. Brady. Well, under the circumstances, it's... When you really get down to it, like you said, I'm leaving.
That's it! The game's over, okay? The game's over. Let the new games begin.
This is the CBS Radio Network.